let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for you, Lord, and thank you for all your blessings, and thank you, Lord, that you are the blessing. And Lord, just renew our minds and teach us what you would have us know, Lord. And for those who are sick and recuperating, and that are just having down times in their life, Lord, that you would just lift them up, be with them, and Lord, that if there's anything that we can do to help, Lord, just lay it on our hearts, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm a basic guy, simple, nothing off the wall or weird, but one of the things that I... Good evening. One of the things that I see in the church, in the visible church, I'm not talking about this little church right here, but just in general, is first of all a need for people to understand just simple stuff, you know. What is born again? What is lost? How do we learn what God has done to us and for us when we are redeemed? and with over 300 denominations, 300 Protestant denominations today and growing, confusion reigns. It depends on kind of where you land, to what you are taught. And I've been in and around the church for 40 years, okay? And it's very confusing at times. But with that said, what we want to look at, or what I wanted to give y'all, was just a simple explanation, best I can, of what being lost is, okay? A lot of people in this day and time, they just kind of skip over that to, you know, getting God, getting Jesus or whatever, and then they want all the stuff. They want all the whatever Jesus has to offer. But they miss the most important part, or the initial part of being under conviction, of being lost, about what Jesus came to do to redeem man, that man must see where he's at before he can be redeemed, okay? So, I wrote a few notes here, and I'll just kind of go by them. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. We sing that all the time. But the thing about it is, I once was lost. Being lost is just all kinds of stuff in this day and time. But being lost is a certain thing. It's a condition that we are born in, that we come into this world in. We want to talk for a while about what lost is and what lost isn't. No one is born again or born from above or born of the Spirit, saved, etc. All of these different names or whatever we give to being born again, being saved. Most of it is just saved. Are you saved? And people, I did this, I did that, whatever. Being born again or being saved is a knowing, okay? Much of the church, and this is a sad statistic, much of the visible church is probably lost and don't know it because there are so many methodologies that people throw out there to do, go down the aisle, do whatever, you know, cry, all of these things. Say a certain prayer, or ask Jesus into your heart, or well, good evening. You probably, yeah, there you go. Good evening. We're talking about being lost. Okay. You found your way here, so you're not lost. All right. No one is born again, born from above, born of the Spirit, saved, etc., until first they know that they are first lost or separated from God. Lost, or that's a better explanation, is separated from God. We are born in that condition. We come into that, to the world, separated. A lot of folks don't understand that, and that's just a basic principle of salvation, of what the Bible is explaining. So, first of all, we must be lost, all right? And here's one of the things that, if you don't get anything, get this, okay? Lost or separated from God is not just an intellectual understanding of a scriptural fact, though it may be the beginning of being saved, okay, of being born again. It may be the beginning. It may be a starting point. But we don't get anything from God intellectually. You can study the Bible. You can read the Bible. You can study the Bible intellectually for the rest of your life and die in your sins. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? Everything that we get from God is a revelation from God, all right, to us, to the lost man, and then to the spiritual man through the born-again spirit, all right, that we are brand new spiritual creations in Christ Jesus. That's how we communicate. That's how God communicates with us. It's never through intellect, because if it was through intellect, then God wouldn't be fair. Because all of us, there are people like me who are not all that bright, and there are people who are, you know, what is it, the IQ thing, way up there or something. So if God did it that way, only the smart ones would be saved or could understand. But, pardon? anyway, that's one thing that people need to understand. When it comes to Bible study, okay, you can get something, you can understand it intellectually, but what we should do is we take it to God. We take it to God. We get on our knees, get on our face, whatever it is, and say, God, is this right? Is this real? And if it is, reveal it to me in my spirit. And then when he reveals it to you or he doesn't reveal it to you, then we have the opportunity to take it or reject it. He's not going to override our free will. But if we take it, then we have something. Then we know. And knowing is how God communicates with us. We know. It's like if you're truly born again, you know it. If you're a child of God, you know it. Nobody can take that away from you. They can kill you, but they can't take that away from you. So it's a knowing. We still got stragglers. Okay. Come on in. Just to catch you up, we're talking about being lost. So that's the subject, and hopefully some of these will fill you in if you miss anything or ask me afterward. All right, John 16:8 tells us that the Holy Spirit of God will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In other words, lost is a revelation from God. We just covered that. Being lost is a revelation from God. It's not because the preacher said so. It's not because your grandma said so. It's not even because the Bible says so, okay? It's because God reveals it to us. And there's a couple things that God reveals to the natural man. One of them is the creation, and the other is that he is separated from God. All right, all the rest of the stuff, once we get born again, is through the Spirit, Holy Spirit to our born-again spirit, okay? Very simple, but man makes it complicated. All right, here's something. Lost is not down on your luck sort of existence. It's not broke, ill, lonely, addicted to whatever, family problems, etc., though these can be symptoms of sin. Just because folks are in a bad way, that doesn't make them lost. You know, having a bad hair day must be lost. No, that's not it. But sadly, in this day and time, we have like a makeover gospel, okay? Pardon? Yes, health and prosperity. It's like, come to Jesus, ask him in your heart, and he's going to fix up your life. And the thing about that is it is just the opposite of what truth is. Because if we are truly born again, and we understand what born again is, then Scripture tells us that we have died. God executed us. We died with Christ. We were buried with him, and we were raised to newness of life. So what we were is dead. We are brand new spiritual creations in Christ Jesus. In other words, we are simply containers for God, if you will. And once a person understands that, and understands all of the other stuff is supposed to be gone, and we do that. We choose. Paul said, I die daily. Jesus said, unless you take up your form of execution daily and follow me, you can't be my disciple. So what we were in Adam, God killed it. Okay? That's what we were. God killed it. He buried it. All right? And we raised the newness of life. But we still have a free will, and if we choose to drag that dead man around with us for however long, then we can. It's not going to work out. We're not going to grow. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to be what we should be, but we still have that opportunity and remain babies, for the rest of our lives, baby Christians for the rest of our lives. Okay, lost is a separation from God, and it is the second revelation that God gives man. And the first is that He, God, is the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Also, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament, His handiwork. That's for everybody. That revelation is for all. All you have to do is go outside and look. Look at your hand. You know, look anywhere, and you see the creation, part of it anyway. And where did it come from? Well, some people want to tell us that it just happened. And that's ridiculous. That takes more faith than I could ever muster up to believe something like that. That something came from nothing? That's an impossibility, scientific or any other way. So that's not it. All right, if we can get through that, we can get that far, and we don't make God into something of our own fantasy. All right, there's people who go and they see and they understand that there's a God. And I have been there, I've done that. I spent the first 26 years of my life in that place. I knew there was a God, no question. I mean, it would take an idiot to think there was no God, all right? I knew there was a God, but this was what I made it. I'm down here, He's up there. He's given me a brain. He's given me all of this stuff or whatever to live my life. All right, our relationship. I figured I had a relationship. No, I didn't have a relationship, but I thought I did. I thought we were just fine. A lot of folks are like that. A lot of folks, they just make God into whatever kind of God they want Him to be. Okay, yeah, there's a God, but you know, he's a really swell guy, and He loves everything and everybody, and He's not going. There's really no hell or whatever, and this and that, and on and on, and yeah, my God wouldn't do that. What is the one? My God is not that. Narrow-minded. Oh, God is not that narrow-minded. I heard that one forever. Then the next revelation is that we have no relationship with the God of creation. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. The idea that we have no relationship from God, that the revelation that He gives us, is a blessing. Being lost, being in that particular state is a blessing that God reveals us. Because if we don't get there, we can never be born again. We have no reason to be born again. See, Hebrews 11:6, and without our trusting, it is impossible to be pleasing to God, because whoever approaches Him must trust that He does exist and that He becomes a rewarder to those who seek Him out. This is out of the Complete Jewish Bible. I love that Bible. Anyway, it's my favorite, but I had to put that plug in. This rewarder, He becomes a rewarder to those who seek Him out. This is another thing in this day and time. What does God reward? Health and prosperity, stuff. If you're doing it right, you should be rolling in dough and driving big cars and owning big houses and on and on and on. And perfect health. Only thing, though, that the wealth comes before the health, because people like the wealth. And they can spend money, and when they're sick, it doesn't really matter. But no, the reward The end result is a relationship with God, and that end result is God in us. We get God. John has said that over and over and over again. We get God. We get God to indwell us. All of God, the whole God, Jehovah Elohim, all of Him. So that's the end reward. See, another creation God reveals Himself is His church. We are brand new spiritual creatures, creations in Christ Jesus. We are not what we were. We are brand new spiritual creations in Christ Jesus. That's what born again is. The old is gone. The old is dead. We are brand new spiritual. We are raised to newness of life when we're born again. Jesus said that, if I get it right here, we are to have love for one another. And when the world sees that we, the church, have love for one another, they will know, the world will know, that we are His disciples. That He has made us. That He has grown us. That's Him in us. The world will sit up and take notice. As long as the church is divided and squabbling and complaining about the music and complaining about the preacher and complaining about this and complaining about that and all and on and on and on, the world doesn't want to be a part of that. Why wouldn't they? I wouldn't want to be a part of that. It's just defeating the whole purpose of our oneness. And that's what we're supposed to be. Let's see. God rewards us by letting us know without a doubt that His wrath abides on us. This is what lost or separated from God is. John 3:36, whoever has not the Son, the wrath of God remains on him. And then like you said, oh no, my God wouldn't do that. Yes, He would. God is righteous. God demands righteousness. But God in Christ provides righteousness, provides our righteousness. So here's James says that demons who believe in God and are eternally separated, I added that, tremble. They tremble at knowing God, at the thought of God. Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, but it is a blessing to fall into the hands of a living God, because if that trembling brings you to God, then hallelujah, that conviction has done its job. Let's see. All right, and I want to give you a quick. Yeah, we got plenty of time. Give you a quick kind of a testimony, okay? And I hinted on it before. When I was about 26 years old, my relationship with God was about what I said. I figured I was good, fine. I was down here; He was up there. I wasn't that great of a guy, but I wasn't that bad of a guy. I had everything I needed. But for some reason, I knew there was a God, okay? No doubt. I had grown up. No problem. God, you know, God is. And that's the first thing that we need to believe. All right, then, for some reason, and I know probably what it was, because I had people praying for me, and I had people gently I don't know, pushing, whatever you want to say. So I opened my self, my being, my whatever. I knew there was a God, but I didn't understand the rest. All right. So I opened myself. And then immediately I started to fall under conviction. Okay? And it grew worse and it grew worse and it grew worse and it grew worse. And I'm speaking from my experience. I don't know if that's exactly how God works in with everyone, but I'm sure He convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment to some extent, because that's what Scripture teaches us. But it came on me that I had to have some relief. Okay. It was getting to where it was like a just the world, the whatever, the weight, something had me down. I felt like, okay, God, I know you're God, but it was like here I was, and I was drifting down a river, and I knew that at the somewhere down there was the big fall, and that was death, okay? And if I stayed on the course that I was on, that would be the end result. I would be eternally separated from God. I didn't know that much about the Bible. I could recite John 3:16. I knew all the songs that they sing in the church and all of these things, but it didn't make any reason for it. There was no reason for it, no whatever. This was just some religion or something that these guys did all this stuff. But when I got under conviction and I got to the point where, you know, something had to give. So I remember hearing this guy, and I listened to the radio programs that they had on, the little 30-minute, 15-minute, whatever. They had all kinds of nuts on there and everything else. But I remember this one guy, what was his name? Vernon McGee. Okay, he's dead and gone. But anyway, I heard him talking about just simple gospel, that why Christ died for the sin of the world. He died for my sin. I'm a sinner. He took care of it. He paid for it. And I was a grown man, and I was taught growing up that when a man told you something, that you believed it, all right? And if it's God telling you this, because that's how I felt it was, this guy was just talking for God. If God told you this, then you could believe it, no problem. So I said, okay. I said, now I understand who Jesus is and what he did and what he was in John 3:16. I understood that now. It made perfect sense. It was like, okay, my eyes were open. It's like I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And I saw it, and I said, oh, thank you. And it's like, I don't know how long it was, the weight, the was gone. Not instantly, because, I don't know, I was out at work, in my truck, okay? I wasn't in a church. You couldn't put me in a church. I was out in my truck, and when all this happened, I just said, okay, God, I'm taking you at your word. Went back to work. And the next, I don't know, it was gone. The weight was gone. I knew I had been born again. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was saved, delivered, born again, whatever you want to call it. No problem. The only thing was I was unchurched, undiscipled, lone wolf, whatever. I tried to live like that, and it didn't work out. And but anyway, to make a long story short, or shorter, any time in my life, any time that things I didn't understand, especially about Christianity, because it was like 10 years before I ever stepped into a church. And then about 10 more years, and then I stepped out of church or organized religion because I couldn't handle that either. It was too much of a, I don't know, we'll have to get into this another time. But anyway, not saying that quit church or anything, but the particular denomination that I was in was just ritual, just whatever. It was, and I think back on that, and I think of all the things that they taught me that weren't so, and anyway, I, y'all can believe what you like, and we'll get along fine. But I am not a denominationalist of any kind. I loathe denominations. I have come to that place in my life. They are not of God. Try reading 1 Corinthians, and you don't get very far till Paul's knocking them. So they are mainstream, but they are not biblical at all. Being lost, it's a individual thing, all right? It's between God and the person. And if anyone opens their self to God, knowing that there is a God, I guarantee you that He will convict them of sin or separation, if you will. And that's the thing. It's separation from God. And it's a terrible feeling. It's an awful thing. But it's a blessing. It is a blessing. And I'll say it's the second, not to get into something else, but it's the second blessing that God gives us human beings after creation. After we understand His creation, then He lets us know that we have no relationship with Him. And that's a real bummer. it's what leads, it's a step, okay, that leads to salvation. We can deny it. We can just keep brushing it off and brushing it off. Acts chapter 2, when Peter spoke, what did the scripture tells us that the people were cut to the heart. All right, what was that? What does that mean? It means that they fell under conviction. He had told them all this stuff. They had just been about executing Christ the best that they could. And they said, what must we do to be saved? All right. Go on down a few chapters over, and there's another group. And Stephen gives some a long history lesson and lecture. And what does the scripture say? And they were cut to the heart. They were fell under conviction. But what did they do? They killed him. They stoned him. So conviction can do one of two things. It can lead someone or bring someone to salvation, or it can run them off. You see a need for God, or you want to kill him. You want to do away with him. And that's what Christianity is. That's where we're at. Some people will take it, some people will hate you for it, to try to make them change them. Last thought. Oh. They call the good news or the gospel the good news. That's what it means. But there's no need for the good news until you understand the bad news. And the bad news is that we're separated from God. Okay? And with that, that's what I have for you, had for you. Any question or comment, or thought? Do we agree? okay. Because like I said, with all the confusion, too much confusion, and remember this: every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. It's revelation. It's revelation from God. It's not our intellect. Sadly, that one thing is neglected in teaching and preaching and all kind of attempts at growth programs and stuff. The Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It's God working in us to work through us as us, period. It's not nothing of us. One more thing. We have time. Romans 12:1-2. One of my favorite verses that I try to explain. And one of the verses that people take the wrong way, or people preach the wrong way. Paul says, I beseech you, I beg you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. Think about what he's saying. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies, a living sacrifice, your bodies, not your mind, not what you think, not your money, not your stuff, not your talents, not your anything of you. If you're born with that, you may be the greatest whatever born. God doesn't need that. And he certainly doesn't want it, okay? He wants your body. He wants the vessel. And he wants to put himself into that vessel after Adam has been dumped out and buried, okay? He wants to put himself in the vessel. He wants to fill that vessel up until it runs over on other people or the world or whatever. That's Christianity. That's a Christian. Nothing more, nothing less. It's pretty simple once we get down to just basic stuff. He goes on and says, and be not conformed to this world. Sadly, the church drags everything from the world in here and makes it whatever. And no, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that doesn't mean we stick our intellect in it. It means dump our intellect. It means spiritually, be spiritually minded, that we may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. All right? And it's God. God in us. God in us that leads us to His will. He's doing it. He just wants a place to live. and we don't a lot of folks don't really understand that. And you see, when we understand who we are in Christ, then that should change our way of thinking. It should change our life. It should change everything about us. Because this is serious stuff, and it's for eternity. Okay? And there are folks out there that need a Spirit-filled Christian. The world is not going to beat down our doors and beg to be born again. They've got to see us. And they have to see the Christ in us. And if they don't, we're just useless. We're just doing, as John says, he got on this the other morning and about had me excited. He started talking about if we could get over religion. I thought, yes, go ahead. Because that's what we need to do. We need to get out of religion and into Christ. We need to get out of religion and into who he has made us. We need to get out of religion and into His truth that He gives us, not some guy from some denomination gives us, because that is total, most of it, hogwash. And time is short. I'm getting old. I've played church long enough, and I'm not playing church anymore. Okay? I'm not going to do it. And come what may. Anyway, that's it. That's all I want to give you.